God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, our gospel reading has a question that Jesus asks of his disciples. Who do the people say I am? You know, in life, you can kind of give a couple different types of answers. You can give, you know, like a politically correct type of answer. Even though within you, there might be gnawing at you the real answer you would like to say, but for some reason, you just really can't say it. Maybe you're afraid you might offend somebody. Well, in today's text, you have the disciples sort of saying what the crowds think of who Jesus is. I will admit, it's easy for the crowds to associate Jesus with someone in the past, someone who is a physical human being. But when the question is flipped around, who do you say I am? It is Simon Peter who is bold to give not the nice answer, but the true, the honest and true answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's easy to see Jesus as flesh and blood, but now to see him as the Son of God, this takes faith. And please notice that's exactly what Jesus says. He says to Peter, this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, but from above, from my Father in heaven above. And on this confession, on this basis of what Peter just got through confessing, Jesus will build his church. And the church is that gathering where people will gather in his name for his promises, for life and life eternal. Just recently, our banner committee put together two new banners. They came up last week. And you may notice from our Lutheran service book that's in the pews that this is what's embossed on them. The left side shows you have the Bible representing God's word. You have the sacraments, the baptismal shell and the chalice with grapes and wheat. On the back side of the Lutheran service book, you have the other banner, the hand representing the Father, the cross representing the Son, and the Spirit being represented in the form of a dove. I will admit, you may not have noticed it too well in Lutheran service book because they really don't stand out, but they're there. They stand out really well with our banner. So it begs the question, why are we gathering here? The Lutheran service book and our banners very clearly tell us why we are gathering here. We are gathering here to remember God's promises, to receive Christ himself who comes to us through his word and sacraments. This is nothing new. It's actually part of even the promises of the Old Testament. Our Old Testament reading sets this apart very quickly. The first two verses from Isaiah chapter 51. He says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Notice the next phrase. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, from the quarry that you were dug. Now, when Scripture uses the term rock, it's not necessarily the same thing that we may think of a rock. We may think of a rock as something you may be able to pick up. But to better describe this term rock, let me just toss one word in front of it. That would be bedrock. Now I'm talking about something else. I'm not talking about the Flintstones, but I'm talking about that layer of the earth which is strong. It's supportive. You build foundations upon it. And notice what the prophet Isaiah is trying to direct us to. You're looking for the Lord. You're looking for righteousness. You're looking for life and life eternal. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. You were carved out of. You were taken from. In which you were dug. Please notice who's doing the action here. This is all God's doing. Look to your father, to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for he was but one when I called him. Again, it was God's call to Abraham. And Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. These are the Old Testament promises of Christ, as Christ gives of himself for you, for your forgiveness, for your salvation. We need Christ to take on that flesh and blood. And strangely enough, he goes back to the rock from which we were hewn, because you may remember that after he died, his body was laid in a tomb, very much like the bedrock that was carved out for him to be laid in that Isaiah is talking about. Yes, we live in a society where we need a Savior. We cannot do it ourselves, and so God is the one who takes on flesh and blood. This is what Peter testified to, that Jesus was more than just flesh and blood, but he is the Son of the living God. He is the Christ, the Messiah. This bold response being given by Peter. And we want to pat Peter on the back for this bold response. And as Christ notes, it was given to him from above. But this gathering is going to be based on this bold response. And so let's take a look a little bit more at Peter and this response. Yes, Peter is celebrated in our church, one of the disciples of the Lord, the chief spokesman at times, the one who would be bold to make that bold confession. But there's also something else about Peter that makes him special. Right after our text, after he makes this bold confession, he would trip and fall, so to speak. He would chastise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he says he was going to the cross. Jesus, in turn, calls his words that of Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Previously, Peter would somewhat sink as he would try to walk on water. And right before our Lord's death and crucifixion, Peter denies our Savior. And even after he is restored, and after the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you now have the Apostle Paul, who needs to set Peter straight. So what can we learn from this bold confession of Peter? Someone who's been with our Savior and watching these miracles and listening to his words? It's not about his flesh and blood. It's about Christ. What can we learn about Peter? He's just as human as you and I. Because if Satan can trip and fall Peter, a disciple who got to see with his own eyes Jesus the Christ and make this bold confession, what hope is there for us? It is the same hope that is for Peter. It doesn't come from his flesh and blood. It comes from Christ, who gives of his flesh and blood, the Son of the living God. Yes, God dies to redeem humanity who should die. So the real answer here on why we gather around word and sacrament is to remind us that it is not about us and our doings. It's not us about how good we are or how perfect we are. Our salvation, our life eternal, is not about what we do, but is what Christ does for us. This is the promises of God that are proclaimed in God's Word. This is the promises of God connected with water and bread and wine. And this is why we gather on a weekly basis. Because, yes, Peter fell away. He tripped. He fell. He sinned. He disobeyed. He was forgiven, restored. This is why we gather, because we need that strength each and every day. And that strength doesn't come from our own flesh and blood. If it did, you could just stay home and sleep in on this beautiful Sunday morning. Just rejuvenate yourself in bed. Enjoy, have a leisurely breakfast. No, our salvation comes from above. Revealed to us not by flesh and blood, but by the Father. Through the promises of old from the prophets, to the New Testament writers, to Christ himself, where Christ gives of himself word and sacrament. Remember the rock from which you were hewn, Isaiah reminds us. Remember the promises of God. That is what gives us life and life eternal. So we show up where Christ is present, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Besides, didn't Peter say, in other words, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So this day we rejoice and we gather. We gather upon that confession of faith where Christ has placed us, where he feeds us with his own body and blood. He gives us his own word, a word that produces life and life eternal. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.